There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Man, did this dude just did this?
With the 20th pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Caris LeVert from the University of Michigan.
The problem is you don't want to mess with a bat because, as you may know, they can be ratted.
But there goes Artest after somebody in the stands. And he is going after a fan, and he is waylaying a fan, and this thing is now getting ugly.
Got them all?
Justin Holliday has come in all three.
Do we have them all?
He did first time in NBA history that three brothers on the floor at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Born Ready to Pod Podcast. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. NBA is in full swing and college basketball heats up as the schools make their way towards madness. The tournament is coming and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness Contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off four custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a free one pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram. Whether rare or dead stock, the latest release, everything you're looking for is on eBay, and they have the authenticity guarantee. Your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. It's free to sell sneakers on eBay that are over $100. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Get over to ebay.com/sneakers today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Born Ready to Pod podcast. Tonight's a very special edition episode where we're going to hit you over the next hour. Jake Light, aka MGJ, has hit the trade machine nonstop for the past week. He's been throwing in players, picks, trade exceptions, everything you can think of into this trade machine. And tonight he debuts on the podcast for the very first time as MG Trade. MGJ, are you ready for this?
I am. It's been a pretty, if you got my last message, it's been a pretty unfortunate couple of hours here. I had this whole beautiful sheet that ended up being left at the school. Luckily, I took a lot of pictures of these trades. I'd love to be able to dissect these. And I think it's just important as I'm going through these trades and just kind of understanding that we're never going to be happy with if you're going to trade Turner or Sabonis, because you're just, or Brogdon, because the fact of the matter is they just don't have the trade value that we think they do. No one wants centers. They just don't. And so some of these deals I'm trying to swing, I'm trying to do all kinds of crazy stuff. And at the end of the day, I just think that we got to keep this into perspective that we probably think our guys are better than other teams do. I mean, we're a team that is below 500 in the East. I think we're the 10th seed at this very moment. So we're not very good. So if you think that I have us getting a bunch of studs, you'd be very wrong.
I do want to get your comment on the skills challenge, because you seem to be a, you know, Debbie Downer about that. So what gives?
Oh. No, I'm not a Debbie Downer. I mean, good for Sabonis. I don't care. I mean, give me a playoff win. I would trade the skills challenge for a free throw attempt. I'd trade it for a jump ball possession arrow whenever I wanted it, a coach's challenge. I'd trade it for an extra 5 minute warm up before a playoff game. I would trade it for just about anything because it really means nothing. I don't really care. I don't really remember this helping Fred Jones too much when he won the dunk contest. So I guess I'm just in the Debbie Downer mood. And with this team, I guess the cool thing to do is just say, oh, we suck, and let's just sit here and not do anything, and let's just not complain. But I'm just not going to do it. I want to win. Quickest path to a championship, figure it out. And I think part of the problem is the fans are just like okay with this, and it's just, it shouldn't happen. So,
Hawk, do you have any words to chime in before he takes the floor?
Yeah, it just as a lifelong Cubs fan that's just was addicted to losing for like 100+ years. I mean, the path, it's possible, you know, so we can still enjoy the team. We can still be happy when we have some sort of success. It doesn't have to be all about the playoffs. And saying that, I don't even mean it. It's all about the playoffs. You're right. Yeah. I was just trying to be optimistic. So I got really nothing here at all. I'm happy he won it. It was him and Vucevic at the end. You can tell Luka Doncic just didn't even try. Like, why even agree to it if you're just not even going to try? Like, it's for the fans. You're one of the best. That's just one of those things that gets on my nerves. Like, if you're going to agree to the challenge, at least try. You're going up and down the court 3 times, for Christ's sake, you know?
Well, there was no reason that Chris Paul should have lost to Vucevic. I mean, no reason at all.
And he was one that was – he actually tried, which he had he missed that layup, which sucks, but whatever.
All right. Well, let's go into the trades.
Okay, I have these kind of broken up into different categories here. Some of them.
First off, before you go in, how many are there?
There's not as many as you would think. I try to keep them realistic. I of course, you know me. I think I had a couple 4, 5, 6 teamers. I'm wheeling and dealing, but I'm going to keep them simple. There's a couple I really like. There's a couple different ways to look at it. I want your honest opinion on these. I'm not saying I would do all of these. These are just some things that I found interesting. Okay. First trade I found interesting. Now, this is with the mindset you're going to trade Miles Turner. And part of it is you're getting out of the last couple of years of paying Miles Turner $18 million a year. So that in and of itself, we hear $18 million. And I listened to the last podcast, listened to the whole thing. You guys know I listened to it, but we say Pritchard's good at all these deals, but I mean, Miles Turner's not an $18 million player in the NBA. He's just not. So getting out of that would be ideal for us. So the first deal, and I actually think W had this deal. Somebody had this deal online. I had it written down before, but Marvin Bagley, and Belka, so we would send Miles Turner to the Kings and we would receive Marvin Bagley III and whatever his first name is, Mbelka. What do we think?
Why would the Kings do that?
Why would the Kings do that? The Kings would do that because they're tired of Marvin Bagley. If you take a look at their roster, I think for them, for the most part, they don't have a center that can stretch the floor. They're stuck with the albatross of Hassan Whiteside, who is just doing – he's really doing absolutely nothing. You already have Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, the Aaron Fox, and I'll be honest with you, that Tyrese Halliburton can really play. So what you have is a bunch of guys that can create off of the dribble. Obviously, Buddy Hield's becoming better at that. But what you want to do more than anything on a team like this is you don't want to clog it up for De'Aaron Fox and or Tyrese Halliburton. And there's a reason Whiteside's not playing. They want a guy that can space it out. Bagley still has some trade value. Honestly, Belica is just a one-year deal who's expiring, who could stretch the floor a little bit for us. So to me, it's a guy that you could pair with Sabonis, a guy with a lot of upside, obviously well thought of coming out, and another big guy that can space the floor.
Yeah, as a Duke fan, I never was fully invested in Bagley. I just didn't know if he had the jumper. But with the potential there, that's not a bad deal at all. And like you said, DeBlicia or whatever the hell you say his last name, that's someone that can shoot and give you a little something off the bench. So that would be nice. not the worst trade. I'd like to hear the other ones before I crown this one the best so far. But Marvin Bagley is enticing, and he's a name, you know. And we've hit on guys like that in the past that were underutilized, maybe Sabonis being the prime example. So that could work. I'm not against that one at all.
Chris, what do you think about that?
I'd do it.
I think I'm just warning you. I don't think there's as many trades as you guys think. So I would probably dig into them a little bit. I think for me, the Marvin Bagley thing, and this is really stupid, but I think it, as a basketball coach, is something you think about. The only thing I don't like about him is he's left-handed, and him being left-handed with Sabonis being left-handed, I don't love it, but at the same time, you're kind of at the mercy of, just needing to get younger and to get more athletic. And I know everyone's like, oh yeah, Turner's athletic for a big, well, he's athletic for a big guy, but W said on the podcast when you guys had him, he has terrible feet. He's clod hopping around. I mean, he's athletic for a big guy, but he's not athletic in the NBA, if that makes sense. So that's kind of why I think I would take a risk on that one.
Yeah, he's athletic enough to be exceptional at defense, but other than that, like, he just looks like W said, like a gazelle or a deer out there lost at times.
Let's move on to the next deal.
Yeah, I think for a team like Sacramento, I mean, it could work. I mean, it really could work trying to get Turner. And I just think it's interesting moving forward. Okay, I'm going to stick with Miles Turner here. And Turner's moving in a lot of my deals because I just think he's the most likely person to get dealt. I don't know if we would move a guy like Caris LeVert. TJ Warren's on a pretty team-friendly deal. I think it'd be hard to move Lamb. So there's not a lot of big trade pieces we could have. But I'm going to stick with Turner on this deal. This is a build for the future deal. This is just getting a first-round pick. But we would trade Miles Turner to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we would be receiving Trevor Ariza, who's on the last year of his deal. So another wing defender who's been there, 3-and-D guy. And we would also be receiving a first round pick that would be lottery protected this year, top 8 protected next year, and so on and so forth until it'd be unprotected in 2025. So you're basically trading Turner, getting rid of the contract. You're getting Trevor Ariza, who's a 3-and-D guy, who's a proven winner, a guy that I think we could actually use in our rotation, and you're getting a first-round pick for probably more than likely at least 1 year away, probably two.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Ariza is one of those guys I feel like that can fit on any team, and like you said, giving up that cap room and that future pick, I like this one better than the Kings deal, honestly, but as we said before, the guy drafting sucks at drafting, so I don't know how much we factor that in, but that's a good, like, short fix, I feel like, that could really pay off in the end.
I would only do this deal if you're committed to rebuilding. I wouldn't do it if you're not rebuilding.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. I think I'd rather just have Marvin Bagley, a proven commodity, and I do want, and I, you know, I, you guys know that I brought this up in our group chat. I definitely want to talk about Pritchard later, so Hawk, you kind of gave it away a little bit, but Pritchard might be the worst guy at drafting in the NBA. That's not hyperbolic. That's not speaking in hyperbole. And this guy is terrible. I mean, when Greg Oden potentially could be his best draft pick ever, and he is considered a top 10 bust, even though I think I don't like it because of the injuries. But if you look up top 10 busts in NBA history, Greg Oden is on the list, and he could be Kevin Pritchard's best draft pick ever, but I don't want to give everything away for later. Okay, moving on. Are we ready to move on? I guess I should say.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I was just running through top busts. Anthony Bennett comes to mind. The guy that got drafted ahead of Michael Jordan. Those are the two that come to mind, but Greg Oden's definitely on that list.
Kwame Brown.
Yeah, I mean,
Kwame Brown.
Greg Oden has to be on that list.
Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum and all those guys. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, DeAndre
Ayton isn't a bust, but picking him over Luka was pretty damn bad.
Yeah, and Trey. Yeah.
Okay. Here's one deal I thought was pretty sweet, and I've been inputting these as I've been moving through. For whatever reason, Sabonis is currently not on the roster to trade the NBA trade machine. So it's kind of bullshit. But the deal was as follows. We are trading Sabonis to the Grizzlies. Okay. Trading Sabonis to the Grizzlies. And in return, we would be receiving, this is a guy that I really like here, Jaren Jackson Jr., obviously coming off an injury, but shows a ton of potential. I really like Jaren Jackson. We would also be receiving Brandon Clark, who should be a Pacer at this very moment, and Dylan Brooks. We would also, I was using another trade machine, not on the ESPN, and we would also be projected to get a first-round pick that is protected. Pretty much we wouldn't get it until 2025. So first-round pick, 2025, basically, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, and Dylan Brooks for Sabonis, and then it would be Keelan Martin as well in order to make the salaries go.
Would the Grizzlies give that much up for Sabonis?
That's kind of what I was thinking on that one. It's really hard to find a home for Sabonis. Because the listeners are listening to this and they're probably saying, why would we trade Sabonis? Trade Sabonis because I've already said it 400 times. You don't want the centers in the NBA. I'm not going to go over it. But with that being said, I mean, you're not probably going to be able to trade Sabonis for a stud wing guy. I don't know. I don't know very many teams that want to trade a stud wing for a center. And so getting Jaren Jackson Jr., who is a four, but he can function as a three, you're taking a chance because he's coming off a huge injury, taking a chance on Brandon Clark, who looks good. And then Dylan Brooks is an undersized three, but he's the type of guy that we could really make work. And he is another wing player who's kind of a bulldog on defense, and he can really shoot it. For the Grizzlies, you're getting Ja Morant, a pretty good pick and pop player. That's something he does not have at this moment. You would have a starting five. Where I don't like it is you have Valanciunas in there too, but they're talking about moving him. I think a good starting five for them would be Ja Morant. You'd have Ja Morant. You'd have Justice Winslow. You'd have Kyle Anderson. You could have Sabonis and Valanciunas, and then probably move Valanciunas for other things later. They have been starting guys like Tyus Jones alongside Ja Morant and Grayson Allen as well. So I think it's just pretty much getting the Grizzlies a better number two option for Ja Morant, a guy that can pick and pop. Sabonis has improved that game. And for the Pacers, I think it's pretty obvious. You're taking a shot on Jaren Jackson, a local boy, and just getting a little more athletic and younger. Probably not my favorite deal, but it's a deal that I think makes us better, unfortunately.
Yeah, what do you think, Mark? Triple J, I've loved his game ever since Michigan State, Indiana boy, like you said. I think he's got a bright future in the league, and I don't know if you could do this deal if he was 2 years later in his progression. Maybe now's the perfect time, like you said, coming off the injury. But I think we're all in agreement we'd rather trade Turner, even though he's good at defense and whatnot. I think Sabonis, the triple doubles, his ability to pass, find guys, obviously the rebounds, which if we remember before Sabonis came, rebounding was like our biggest problem for years and years, it seemed like. And ever since Sabonis, it's not been as big of an issue, I feel like. So that's something you're going to lose too. But I mean, if you're looking to make changes like we are, I would put this one as my second favorite deal. And that's just because I'm high on Triple J. And I think Dylan Brooks can really be a good player as well. Just maybe off the bench. I mean, to me, he's almost like a better McDermott, I feel like. But, McDermott obviously is a little taller and plays a little different game. But that's how I feel.
Okay. I like that. I like everything you said there. I think, like you said, Triple J, if you actually watch him, he's just got a ton of potential.
Yeah.
And
he can shoot a little bit.
Yeah. And he's the type of guy that you watch and you just say, man, you see it. He can figure it out and he can defend and he can do a lot of things that not too many guys in the NBA can't do. And he's just really impressive. And I know he hasn't been doing a lot this year or late last year because of the injury, but it's a guy you take a chance on. Okay, so here's the deal. I don't love this one. This is pretty much, we suck. This is a straight salary dump. But you guys tell me what you think. This is a three-team deal. between the Pacers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Dallas Mavericks. Okay. The Pacers would be trading a bulk of players here. We'd be trading Miles Turner. We would trade Doug McDermott. We would trade Aaron Holiday and Goga Batadze. Okay.
Yes.
So, again, this is a, we're not winning deal. Okay. In return, we would receive two first round picks, both heavily protected, one from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then one from the Dallas Mavericks and one from Cleveland. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we would also receive the corpse of Andre Drummond.
The best rebounder of all time. Yes.
Best rebounder of all time. The corpse, which, you know, not re-signing him. He's an albatross in the middle.
Yeah.
But he's still, that's $30 million coming off the books next year. And then we would also receive Chetty Osman.
Which, not bad, not a bad player at all. That's a deal you 100% are rebuilding around if that was the move.
Yes.
Picks aren't guaranteed, like you said, but that $30 million with a small market is still keeping the most of our core together. I mean, it's a bold move, and I don't think they're going to do that one more than likely, but yeah, that would be the rebuild one for sure.
Just before Chris comments on this, Cleveland, you're wondering, okay, Cleveland would be moving Drummond, Chetty Osman, and a first round pick. They would be receiving Kristaps Porzingis and Goga in that deal as well. Ooh. So they're getting Porzingis. So they're dropping Drummond, Chetty, which they're trying to do anyway for anything. So they're basically trading Chetty in a first round pick because they're willing to move Drummond for anything for Porzingis and Goga.
Yeah,
all I hear in this trade is I have to watch Drummond and Sabonis play minutes together, and I'm not about that. So I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, and I get that. And you would probably watch them, but we're already playing two centers. And this is, I've already stated, this is a straight, like, we are rebuilding because we are not re-signing Drummond. We're getting the $30 million off the cap. We're basically getting Chetty Osman, who's a pretty solid player. Does he have a
player option?
Who?
Drummond.
I honestly couldn't tell you on this ESPN thing. It's not giving me the option to have it to see the player option.
Watch out on those because sometimes they have a player option that doesn't show up on there. So I wouldn't be shocked if Drummond had another year.
Okay. Well, even if he has another year, we get two first round picks in Chetty. It is. Honestly, I thought it showed you on ESPN. I thought there was a little mark and I don't see one, but I could be wrong. The Dallas Mavericks, who they are looking to trade Kristaps Porzingis, they would be receiving Miles Turner, Doug McDermott, Aaron Holiday, and a second round pick.
For moving it's smart Porzingis. Did the Mavericks want to move Porzingis is my first question. Do you think it's smart that they want to move him? I know he's had the injury history.
Yeah. Here's what scares me. What scares me is they ink him to this big deal, and all of a sudden his name starts floating out in rumors, kind of like what happened with New York Knicks, to be dead honest with you. And it just kind of popped up because apparently his circle causes a lot of problems. And it must be really bad if Mark Cuban's not dealing with it, because he's like the best owner in terms of players. Mm-hmm. And managing players and their expectations and the posse they have around them. And so if this is real, I mean, you're moving Kristaps, you're getting Turner, who is cheaper. He's a hometown kid. You're getting Holiday, who maybe they can figure out a way to make this kid work. And then McDermott's a three-point shooter. That's a quick way to maybe reset a dead roster and maybe could compete for the playoffs with Luka. I mean, Luka does, you don't want to have an albatross in the middle with Luka. And you know, Miles's game is on the outside. You get him another shooter in McDermott, and Holiday's probably a playmaker off the bench. I'd rather have Jalen Brunson than Aaron Holiday, but it is what it is. Maybe Holiday could play the two because it's not like the Mavericks have a very good bench. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I don't hate that. But
okay.
For the Pacers, I kind of do, but for the Mavericks, yeah. I don't.
Yeah. This is one of those deals. And that's what I said. I mean, this is one of those deals where I really, really, really I wouldn't do it unless I said I was going to rebuild. And to be honest, I don't think this is a deal the Pacers would make simply because Pritchard's going to be the one that has to pull the trigger on this deal. And Pritchard's one of the last guys in the NBA I want with the first round pick. So is what it is. It's pretty much admitting you've been wrong. So I have also, before I get to this, do you know how hard it is to find a team that needs a point guard? There are like no real teams that need a point guard in the NBA. Just keep thinking. I mean, can you guys think of a team in the NBA that needs a point guard?
I was thinking the Magic maybe, but they got Cole Anthony, so no.
The Clippers.
Yeah, I the Clippers was one, but if you look at the Clippers, who are they moving? And I mean, Kawhi and Paul George pretty much bring it down
the court. Knicks definitely do.
The Knicks do. That was one team that I had marked. Yes. Anybody else you can think of?
Who's the Heat point guard?
The Pistons definitely need one.
Pistons definitely need a point guard, yes.
The Knicks is Elfrid Payton.
Well, Derrick Rose.
Well, yeah, Derrick Rose. Now I forgot about him.
But I mean, it is what it is. Utah doesn't need one. San Antonio doesn't need one. Sacramento doesn't need one. Portland, no. Phoenix, no. Oklahoma City with Shea. I mean, New Orleans does not need one. Minnesota, I would say yes. But that was me. Memphis, obviously not. The Lakers have LeBron. Clippers can't really do much. Houston, John Wall. Golden State has Steph Curry. Denver, Jamal Murray. Dallas has Luka. Washington
Shout
has
out Jamal Murray, baby. Shout out Jamal Murray.
Yep.
Love it. Okay. Basically no one needs a point guard. And the whole issue that you got is, we have a point guard that doesn't really make a lot of other teams better. And so finding a deal for Malcolm Brogdon, I didn't even do one because I just think that it would piss everybody off. So I have one more deal I want to go over. I sent this to you guys. It's a 4-team deal. And it's juicy. I've sent it to you. Okay. So the Pacers would be moving this. They would be moving Miles Turner, Aaron Holiday, Jalen Lekeu, Dougie McDermott, and Goga. Any of those guys can go. I think McDermott's probably the best one. Mm-hmm. We would also be moving a first round pick, which who gives a flying fuck? Because yeah, guess what? We suck. Nobody. In return for all of those guys, we would receive Kristaps Porzingis, Jonathan Isaac, and Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
Okay. Just from our perspective, I'll walk through the others and tell you why I think they would do this. But Kristaps, Jonathan Isaac, who's obviously injured, and Cole Anthony. 4, Miles Turner, Aaron Holiday, Jalen Lekeu, Doug McDermott, and Goga. And a first-round pick.
Yeah, taking all else out, like we just talked about, Kristaps, I'd do that in a freaking heartbeat. And the future first-round pick is going to be like Brobob Ditadze or something. Like it's going to be another shitty guy.
Exactly. Cook, what do you think about that? In a nutshell, if you were the Pacers, would you do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's why the other teams would do this as well. Okay. So Dallas. Only thing Dallas is giving up is Kristaps Porzingis. Okay. They would receive Miles Turner, hometown kid, space the floor, Taurean Prince, a wing that's under contract, a manageable contract for the next year and a half, and Jalen Lekeu, as well as a second round pick. Getting out of the Kristaps Porzingis contract, getting the posse out the door, you get Miles Turner, Taurean Prince, Jalen Lekeu, in the second round pick. Would you do that if you were Dallas?
If they're really that fed up with Kristaps, it's something to consider, I think, seriously. It just depends on their other offers. I think they'd probably get a better offer maybe, but yes, I think they would.
I think that they would consider it. Chris,
what?
What would you think Dallas would consider that deal?
If they were drunk, they might.
Why? So you think Kristaps at $30 million over the next 4 years, it's really as bad as they think, you get Turner and you get Taurean Prince. I wanted to get Taurean Prince to the Pacers in this deal because I think he's actually a very good player, a very serviceable player. is under contract. And then, I mean, I think it's a solid deal for the Dallas Mavericks, honestly.
When you say it like that, I agree.
Okay. So the Cleveland Cavaliers, okay? This is, I think they would do this in a second because they are going to move. They are getting Evan Fournier, Doug McDermott, Goga Badadze. I think his name is Kahim Burch. Maybe Kahim Burch.
Kim Burch. And
Kim Burch. Okay, cool. I'm trying to zoom in. It's very hard. In a second round pick. And they are basically, they give up Kevin Love. They get out of the $31.3 million contract, but they also have to move Torian Prince and Dylan Windler. So you get Fournier, McDermott, Kim Burch, Goga, second round pick. You can decide if you want to keep any of those guys. They are shooters that can space the floor, veteran leaders, and they all have expiring deals, except Goga, obviously. And you get a second round pick. You're pretty much giving up Torian Prince, but you are getting out of the Kevin Love deal, which is $31.3 million over the next 3 years.
That's gross.
Thoughts?
That's terrible. I can't even remember the last game I actually watched where Kevin Love played, I feel like.
He never plays, man.
So, thoughts on that?
Just by getting out of Kevin Love and Kevin Love never playing, they're going to say yes. Yeah. Some idiots. Okay.
I'm very sorry. They are giving up. I believe they are giving up an LA Laker first round pick in that as well to the Orlando Magic.
Which is worthless.
Which is worthless. Okay. So you think that the Cleveland Cavaliers would say yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now this is Orlando. Okay. These fucking Orlando Magic guys are going to be pissed at me. Okay. This is the one where I think they might say no. The Orlando Magic have to trade Jonathan Isaac and Cole Anthony. Okay. But in return, they get Kevin Love, okay? So they have the money, okay, to pay Kevin Love. What superstar is going to go there and sign? They are the only team that had cap room in this. They save cap money down the road by doing this trade, okay? Because you could stretch Kevin Love if you wanted to waive him, or you see if he's healthy, and you could very easily pair him with Vucevic. That's rebounding, two guys that can shoot the three, two very high IQ players. You get Aaron Holiday, who would serve as the Cole Anthony role of the guy that's going to play in the second unit. Still a ton of potential, only $2.3 million over 2 years. Shouldn't say a ton of potential, but potential. Dylan Windler, who is, if you watch any of the G League games, he's a guy I wanted on the Pacers. He's a not very great defensively, but he is a scorer. You get the Pacers first round pick, you get a Cavs second round pick, and a LA Lakers first round pick. So you get three picks, Kevin Love, Aaron Holiday, Dylan Windler. You're giving up Jonathan Isaac and Cole Anthony.
I don't think that's terrible.
I don't think that's terrible, but I would be interested to see if they're that willing to get rid of Anthony.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And I think that Jonathan Isaac, because when we trade for Jonathan Isaac there, we're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to use money to pay him. And Cole Anthony is basically who we receive because we're paying Kristaps. We're going to have to pay Jonathan Isaac. So we get Cole Anthony as kind of our savior there. We probably look to maybe move Brogdon in a separate deal to make it all work. But our starting five would be pretty dang good with Sabonis, Porzingis. You got TJ Warren, Caris LeVert, Malcolm Brogdon with eventually a healthy Jonathan Isaac, Cole Anthony. I mean, it's a pretty, pretty nice lineup you make there.
Yeah, good balance. Still pretty young, too. I don't hate that one at all.
Yeah. So that's a 14 deal that I think makes a lot of sense for each team. Although I think the Magic would be the one that maybe held it up. I think you guys think Dallas maybe, but I would say it would be Orlando.
Yeah, I think Orlando just because of Cole Anthony. I don't know how willing they are to end that experiment.
Now, let me ask you this then. what if we said we don't get Cole Anthony, but we get Dylan Windler? So now the Magic get Kevin Love, Aaron Holiday, but they only, and they get a second, or yeah, sorry, two first round picks. They only have to give up Jonathan Isaac.
I think they do that a million times over.
Okay. So now we would get Porzingis, Isaac, and Dylan Windler, and we trade Turner, Holiday, Lekir, Doug McDermott, and Goga, as well as a first-round pick.
Yeah,
sign the paperwork. Do the physicals.
What'd you say?
Sign the paperwork. Do the physicals.
Yeah, that seems good to me.
Okay, so we're all in the same boat here. Okay, so those are my trades. I really wanted to work in a Malcolm Brogdon trade. I don't think he has very much value. I really don't. He's got a fat contract. I mean, he's making $20 million, and that's kind of what bothers me. He's making $20 million over the next 3 years, and there's really not a team in the NBA that really desperately needs a guy like that. You know, Detroit would take him, sure. Charlotte wouldn't. They got LaMelo. Maybe New York, but he loves Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose has been playing well. Maybe Minnesota, but they have such a crap salary cap situation. And D'Angelo Russell really plays point guard when he's healthy. I mean, there's not really a lot of teams that need a point guard.
Yeah, I think fully healthy, this team, you're going to unlock Brogdon more, just giving him like some shooters around him, Warren, LeVert in that starting rotation. So I'm not ready to – I think if you're going to make a move, you got to start with the centers first. Like you said, there's not a high demand for point guard. I think you start with one of the centers first, throw in the pieces. And if a Brogdon deal comes down the way, because who knows, it could, that's when you hop on that. But right now I would focus on the centers.
Yeah. I mean, and I think one guy that I don't really want, I think Doug, if you are tanking, Doug McDermott is, he's probably our best actual piece to trade at the deadline. He's an expiring deal. He's only making $7 million. Yeah, I mean, for a team that needs shooting the way he's played, I don't
put him on the Nets.
Put him anywhere. I mean, and even a guy like Jeremy Lamb, I think we keep him because he's only making $10 million over the next 3 years. I mean, $10 million a year, but I mean, that's not a terrible contract. But our guys have a lot of guys that could help other teams. But when you put so many of those guys on one team, you get what you get this year, if that makes sense. And so something's got to happen. You got to shuffle it. But I'm afraid that the Pritchard is so status quo that he's not going to make any move. Like, I don't think there's going to be a big shakeup. And I think I said this a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago at this point. I think part of the issue is the fans are just like, we're like, okay with it. Like, oh, we understand everyone's hurt, but it's like I've been saying, we ran it back with a team that did not win a game. And I know we have Sabonis back, but we traded Oladipo. We got in Caris LeVert, who I love the deal. I'm not saying anything negative about it, but it's not exactly helping us right now. We might be out of the playoff hunt by the time we were all the way healthy.
I don't think we will be. We do have a tough schedule, but I mean, these teams just eat each other up. I mean, if anything, we're only going to be two or three games out. But at the same time, you never know. You can't rely on that. So I think we all agree a deal needs to be made. We'll just see if he does it. And that's the scary part.
I mean, are we closer? For you guys, just answer the question out loud. Are we closer to the first pick in the draft or winning a championship?
First pick in the draft.
Okay. Cook, do you agree with that?
And it doesn't mean
they're right in the middle.
Like we talked about last week, it doesn't mean you have to be the worst team in the league. You just got to be like bottom five, like in the contest to get that ball drop.
Yes.
So I think we're closer to that.
I think
really there's only four or five teams who are in the conversation to win a championship every year.
Yeah.
So if you're not in that four or five team conversation, I mean, I would say your best bet is to go for that first pick.
Yeah. And I'm going to kind of transition this into the Kevin Pritchard talk here.
Oh, but no.
Listen, we just need to have an honest conversation. That's all I'm asking for, because for some reason, people are like, well, Kevin Pritchard shouldn't lose his job. I mean, he's just, he's so good at this, and he made all these trades, and look who he's brought in, and I'm going to push the pencil down my nose now. And it's just like, what, like, why do we think this guy's so good? Because I'll be honest with you, he's had the first pick in the draft before, and it didn't exactly work out very well. Like, I don't really even want the first round picks. We're to the point where we keep making these deals, and I'm cool with it. Trade a first mid-first round pick for a guy that can play, because Pritchard can't draft. Take a look at Kevin Pritchard and what he's done since he's been a GM. It's honestly, I mean, it's honestly one of the ugliest, most pathetic things I've ever seen, ever. I mean, it's that bad.
BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. NBA is in full swing and college basketball heats up as the schools make their way towards madness. The tournament is coming, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness Contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a free 1 pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram. Whether rare or dead stock, the latest release, everything you're looking for is on eBay, and they have the authenticity guarantee. Your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. It's free to sell sneakers on eBay that are over $100. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Get over to ebay.com/sneakers today.
And sorry, guys, we had a little technical difficulty there, but we're back to talking about how terrible Kevin Pritchard is at drafting. So real quick, just to highlight this, he's been a GM for several drafts. So I'm going to go through these names super quick because they're that terrible. Greg Oden, Josh McRoberts, Derek Byers, Torian Green, Demetrius Nichols, Brandon Rush, who might be his best draft pick ever, who he immediately traded, Joey Dorsey, Omer Asik, who he then traded like a night or two later for like 2 second-round picks. I'm sorry, 2 years later, he never played a game for him. So Omer Asik, Mike Taylor. Okay, that was pretty sweet. Great draft.
Mike Taylor.
He traded three picks in 2009 for Victor Claver. That was great. Who else did he get here? Elliot Williams, Armand Johnson, TJ Leaf, EK Anabagu. Who else did we get here? Aaron Holiday, Alize, obviously Goga, and Jarrell Brantley, who he immediately traded. And then, that's Cassius Stanley. That's his draft class. He also drafted Dante Cunningham. I think Dante Cunningham was his best draft pick ever.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You could take the all-star of that lineup, and they would never make the playoffs any year the NBA has been around.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's but one of his best draft picks. I think I had Greg Oden as a possibility, Dante Cunningham, and Brandon Rush. The real kicker is trading 3 picks for Victor Claver, who averaged 3.2 points per game in his NBA career. So to say that, oh, let's give him all the assets. No. He also gifted us. We also got Jarrett Jack, Josh McRoberts, and Brandon Rush for the corpse of Jared Bayless and Ike Diagu, who was one of the worst players the Pacers have ever had. So, I mean, he hasn't really even made great trades either. And what we all give him this pass for is we got Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, which at the end of the day, like I don't know what Caris LeVert's going to do, but the best wing player he's ever received in a deal is Victor Oladipo. But in order to get Victor Oladipo, he had to trade Paul George, who's clearly better. So, like, he's not – he is never, other than trading Paul George and getting Victor Oladipo and then trading Victor Oladipo and getting Caris LeVert. But, again, Paul George is better than all of them. He's never acquired a wing player worth a shit in today's modern NBA. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. He is not good. What about T.J. Warren? What'd you say?
T.J. Warren.
Oh, yeah, okay, T.J. Warren, he's solid, okay? But T.J. Warren also is not going to – he's not a top three option on a team that's winning a championship. He is not proven. So the Pacers are in no man's land in the middle. So we already don't have good picks. And now we're trusting this guy who's never made a good pick to hit on the picks. So yeah, he traded the first round pick for TJ Warren, which I would do. I think he traded for Thad Young, which I would do, but he's not good at drafting and he's not good at acquiring the one position that you actually need to win in the NBA. He's never done it. He got you TJ Warren, who at the time had never been to a playoff game and was basically given away by the Suns because they're idiots.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, and I actually, as a person and as I actually think Pritchard would be better off on obviously a better team being the GM, where they draft late and he can just make trades and push a team over the top, a team that already has the good players, because he's just never done it. He's never built it. He took Greg Oden over Kevin Durant, which I get, I mean, at the time didn't seem crazy. But the fact is that decision got them Greg Oden, who is one of his best picks, who's also one of the biggest draft busts in the history of the NBA. So I guess what I'm saying is, and as I listened to you guys, and even W said, well, I'm not sure I'd get rid of Pritchard. Why? What's he bring to the table other than getting you middling guys on contracts that are, some of them are decent and some of them aren't? So what is it? What do you guys want this guy to do? I just don't think he can do it. I'm not even blaming Pritchard.
Yeah, I would say going into this year, I don't think he's done anything to warrant losing his job. But now, at this point, I think his seat's definitely hot. I mean, after all the things you just said, just keeps compiling. I mean, the Goga pick is his worst pick, in my opinion, and that just keeps snowballing. If you look at his track record in Indianapolis drafting alone, it's just absolutely horrendous. So,
TJ Leaf was the worst pick. Come on.
I don't know, man. I'm starting to think Goga is. I'm sorry, but that's where my head's at right now. And it's the devil you know now. He's the one I'm most familiar with. TJ Leaf's been out of my head for a while, thank God. But I would say this year is the first year that this conversation is actually legit, because I think the Sabonis and Oladipo trade bought him a lot of favor. And, you know, this Caris LeVert deal is going to make or break him, in my opinion. It might not be this year. I don't know how – we haven't had a GM move in a while, but that's just my thought process.
I don't think, regardless of what happens this year, he's going to get fired. I think it's going to be two bad years in a row for the next 2 years before that becomes a conversation. So even if the Pacers miss the playoffs this year, I don't see that happening, so I don't find it as a conversation point. I understand. I'm not saying Pritchard's perfect whatsoever. I think he's done a good job in several different areas, but also the drafting has been, you know, piss poor. So I don't think he's on the hot seat this season, but if the Pacers miss the playoffs or have another first-round exit going into next year, if they don't improve at all, I think that could be, you know, the ending of him in Indiana.
I don't think he's ever had a team that's won a playoff game. Is that?
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, when we went to seven.
Oh, sorry, 27. What'd you say?
Seven games with the Cavs.
That's okay. Sorry, I apologize. I was looking at the Portland Trail Blazers, and then the last couple years. So the 1 year, but he inherited that roster, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so
well,
that
was a lot of roster change, though, on that roster.
Other than Oladipo and Sabonis, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, he had signed, he drafted TJ Leaf, he signed Edmund Sumner, he didn't give us much.
He signed Collison and Bogdanovich.
He had Bogdanovich, which is obviously a star, and then Collison, who didn't really give us what we needed down the stretch. He completely got outplayed in the playoffs. So at the end of the day, I guess I don't know. I'm not sure a lot of these guys in the NBA that lose their jobs really do much to lose it. I think you can keep making excuses for guys. And I think you're right. I think ultimately Pritchard is going to have two bad years in a row in order for us not to, in order for us to get rid of him and fire him. I think the biggest issue I have with him is he tried to zig while everybody else was zagging. And I just cannot get over the Turner and Sabonis thing. I just never will.
No, you really can't. You really cannot get over it.
I can't get over it. I just don't understand. All you have to do is look in today's modern NBA, even all the way. I think it goes all the way back to the Spurs, and they had Duncan and Robinson. No one plays like that anymore. It's just unforgivable. And now you can't move them because no one wants centers. And so now the fans are going to get pissed because if we ever move either one of them, we're not going to get much in return. And they're going to say, oh, but Miles Turner blocks a lot of shots and he can shoot the three and he's only 24. Well, if he's so great, why do we suck? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't see what other people see, because really on ball defending, he's not good. He's an eraser at the rim and he gets more attempts than anybody to block shots because the Pacers are so terrible against wings when they're defending wings. I mean, I just can't get over it. And we're just not built the right way.
No, you don't need to take your frustration out on the fans. I don't think the sentiment is as strong as maybe it once was for Miles Turner. I think after this year, people are starting to see that, yes, he's good on defense, but like you said, the two center, I mean, people aren't that stupid. They just like him because he's probably our best draft pick this decade. So that's why I think there's a little bit of attachment there. But I think people would get over it pretty quick if we got something in return for him.
I just think I just want to win.
I do too.
I don't care how it happens. If we got to play seven centers in our rotation to win, fine. I just think when you look, there's a reason why in every single league, it's a copycat league. Everything that you do is copycatted. There's a reason you don't pay running backs big money, because you don't win with big money contracts. There's a reason for a very long time, wide receivers with top five contracts in the league never won a Super Bowl, because those are positions where you can find other people. It's the same exact thing with centers. It's the same exact thing. You find a rim protector, you pay him cheap money. And that's the way you win. You win with wings. You win with guys that can handle the ball. How far do you have to go down? If I said, name me in clutch time, name me the players you want with the ball, how far do you have to go down before you get to Joel Embiid?
20, 25.
Yet we have two of our best, like, three players right now. Maybe two of our best four players are centers. And Sabonis has been taking threes in the fucking clutch because we have nobody else to do it. And it's because it's the way the team was built. Cook, I'd love to hear from you. I'm ranting and I got to stop.
You can keep going, man. I'm taking a back seat on this. This is your show tonight.
I don't want it to be my show. I just need somebody to explain to me how I'm supposed to be okay with this guy that can't draft, who built a roster around two centers, and he cannot acquire talent at the wing position unless the team is giving away a player or you trade a perennial all-star. That's the only way he's ever acquired wing talent, when you got to have wings in the NBA. I just need to know why I'm okay with running it back when we couldn't win a playoff game last year. And we're under 500 in the 10 seed in the East this year. But I'm supposed to be okay with this guy.
I wouldn't say it's running it back. I think the plan from the beginning was to trade Oladipo. There was no trade value for Oladipo either. And he waited until he played. People saw that he could actually play. And then he made a deal. It's not the same caliber player. But I think the plan all along was to have a different lineup at some point and move Oladipo. That's what That's what they said in the Indy Star, and that's what happened. So I don't think he's totally asleep at the wheel like that. And we'll see if it works. We still have the second half of the season. LeVert, it's not going to be a fix by any means. I mean, we're talking about the two centers is the biggest problem, but maybe it can open up more things. And if, you know, they make the playoffs, I don't think his seat's on fire at all. But if they miss the playoffs, like I said, I think he's got one more year to prove it, and we'll see what happens.
If you miss the playoffs in this Eastern Conference,
it's sad. It's sad if you do this year, for sure.
I just, like, if Victor Oladipo had no trade value, then you lost the trade, the Paul George trade.
Yeah.
Because you've traded for a center that you've traded for a center and you've traded for a guy with no trade value.
How many times have you said the word center on this podcast, you think?
And I'm going to hammer it because people just – I can't do it. I just – there are so many people with excuses. And then the people last time that I was doing the tweeting thing and Chris said I was a 2 out of 10 on the tweeting, whatever. The guy – the people – there were like three people that tried to tell me Goga needs more time. More time for what? He got outplayed by like freaking Tony Bradley in a freaking NBA game. Tony Bradley's wife doesn't even know he plays at the NBA. That's how bad he is. And fucking Goga didn't even look like he should be on the same court as Tony Bradley.
For the record, I said your personal Twitter was a 2 out of 10.
Well, my personal Twitter is a 2 out of 10 because I talk about the Browns all the time. You guys don't care about the Browns.
Fair.
It's fine. I don't care. But I try to engage with fans. I'm trying to get people. I want people to understand that it's just more than what we think. It's the perception around the league. We are clearly not good at basketball this year. The perception around the league is our guys have little to no value. Why? Because Hawk just said we didn't want to run it back. We needed to make moves, but we didn't have guys with value. Sabonis has value, but what team that's competing is going to trade for Sabonis? Notice the teams I have dealing for these guys are not perennial playoff teams. The Magic, Dallas Mavericks, who they've obviously won recently, but they're just not built around winning championships. Memphis, Oklahoma City. These are not good teams. These are teams that need to take a chance because they can't acquire talent either. And what I'm telling you is we're worse off than we think. And that's a fact.
A little note of positivity here. Cassius Stanley is about to be in slam dunk contest. So are we going to circle back and record if he wins, or are we going to record regardless afterwards?
I think we record regardless and get happy.
It's up to you guys, but I say if he wins 100%. If not, I mean, the slam dunk contest is probably going to suck, so we're not going to be able to talk about much other than that.
So. Yeah, so let's circle back if he wins. We'll come back and record if he wins. If not, we'll just, you know, sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't happen. Sabonis is the skills champ, challenge champ, though.
Thank God.
So we do have that under our belt tonight.
Championships, so we'll see, baby.
We'll that's see what the Stanley biggest... does. See how electric it. I mean, if he gets in like a face-off, you know, like Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine from a few years ago, and he loses, yeah, maybe we talk about that. Or even last year, it was Derrick Jones Jr. and Aaron Gordon as well. So if it gets to like, you know, a competitive dunk contest, maybe we get on and talk about it regardless. I doubt that's the case.
Yeah.
But if he does win, we'll get back on. We'll talk about the results.
For sure.
His dunk contest championship. But other than that, I don't have much here tonight. I'm pretty worn out, and you know, listening to that negative bullshit, you know, going into my
I wouldn't call it bullshit. It's definitely negative, and some people can't handle negativity, especially online, but it's a dose of reality. I mean, Jake's going to give that to us. W's going to give that to us. We need the truth. And years past, we've won games and had a better record than we probably should have. And that kind of seemed to sweep everything under the rug. And then the playoffs come and reality hits and we're like, what the hell just happened? I thought we were a good team. So we need the truth. And this is definitely the truth, in my opinion.
I have a question.
Need to be made done.
I just have one question. And I just came up with this off the top of my head. I think we need one of our players to sell their soul to the cabal.
Which one? Goga?
Any of them.
He's okay, got I'm the most kidding. To gain. Goga's got the most to gain, so I think he should do it.
I'm just kidding. I just want to tell everybody, even if you don't agree with what I'm saying or you're tired of the negativity, I love you all. I love the Indiana Pacers. I just want what's best for the team. And it's not visually pleasing. I'm not going to use the C word, but you can't play two of them at the same time. I'm sorry if one of them's your favorite player. I'm sorry if you think Pritchard's great. I want to get it off my chest. I promise I'll try to be more positive in the future. But I think everyone just needs, like Hawk said, a dose of reality. I love you. Even if you don't love me, I love you. I especially love you, DeJuan. I love you and all your retweets.
If you follow DeJuan on Twitter, you got to look at his latest Twitter story post. It was pretty funny.
I also love the fact that he put himself between a 7 and an 8 in the ideal man body. I don't know if you saw that tweet from earlier, but I respect the hell out of it. But I know we got to go because I want to watch the slam dunk competition. Hopefully we'll talk about a big Cassius Stanley win. I think that's huge. This would be, again, the biggest win since Sabonis winning the skills competition, which is the biggest win probably since, you know, we won game 6 of the Eastern Conference first round a couple of years ago. That's big time. So,
yeah, and shout out Mike Conley. I mean, I grew up driving to Lawrence North games with my friends to watch him and Greg Oden. And even then, everyone thought, hey, Greg Oden was going to be the greatest player of all time. Mike Conley was kind of just, you know, his sidekick at that point. And now what, 14th year, first All-Star game, had a pretty good show at the three-point contest. And I feel like he always has just represented Indiana well, even though he's never played for us. You know, I just love Mike Conley, honestly.
Chris can speak to this. I think we were like sophomores in high school. We went down to Clay Terrace when Clay Terrace was like a big deal. We saw Mike Conley Jr. I think we've told this story on the podcast before, but we find Mike Conley Jr. walking around Clay Terrace with a very attractive looking female. Of course, me and my autograph ways. I was desperate for his autograph, and Chris can act like he wasn't, but he wanted it too. And I think Evan was with us. He wanted his autograph. I think we ran into Staples. We literally bought white pieces of paper, just bought a ream of paper. One of us is following him. One of us is following him. He's getting into his car. Mike Conley knows the whole time we're following him, even though we think we're being secretive. And we're standing at the street corner as he's pulling away. And he actually pulls his car over in the middle of Clay Terrace, signs our blank white pieces of paper. And for that, I will always love the man because he didn't have to do that. And it was awesome.
He's great.
I can attest to that. Great guy. All right. Well,
ending on a positive note, guys. We all love it. Let's just love the world. Just love each other.
All right. Well, we'll be back if Cassius wins dunk contest. If not, you guys have a great week. And spread love and positivity in this world. We need it now more than ever. Peace out.
Peace.
Love you. Bye.